Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts and chapter 1. Been quite a summer, man. We have not gone a week without seeing people come to Christ. We have gone several weeks in a row. Men aren't any more important than women, but it's really good when men walk the aisle and receive Christ as their Savior. And we've been experiencing that all summer long. So isn't it amazing how everything can be going right? I mean, God is good. Cups running over, saucers running over as well. Blessing after blessing after blessing. Now tell me if this isn't true. One thing goes wrong, and it's like everything changes. It's like we're just an ungrateful people. Your preacher's the same way. We've been full and full and full. It's been a wonderful summer, and every direction we turn, and then we have one crowd a little bit down, and I'm sitting up here getting a little bit melancholy. You pray for this man. He is a sinner. You talk about ungrateful. In fact, I want to pray one more time. God, you are so good to us. God, we have known your blessing. This preacher, I have known your blessing. I'm pastoring exactly the kind of church I always wanted to pastor. And what a way to go out in this world, either by way of the grave or rapture, but to finish strong. Lord, that's what I desire. And I pray this message this morning would be an encouragement to everybody that's here, man, woman, and child. And lift us into the heavenlies. God, help us to realize what you're doing for us every day. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Acts in chapter 1, before we read any scripture here this morning, I'll tell you a little bit about my life. I do that all the time, don't I? But let me tell you the reality of it. I go through life, as far as remembering names, in a fog. You know, it's just, I tell myself there's too many names to remember. But when you're not remembering the name of your wife, you got a problem going right there. And I just, day after day. So I'm at Canaan Land, it's Monday. There's a group comes from Escanaba. An older lady gets out and an older man. I say older, they're a little younger than me, but they're definitely not, I did not mistake them as campers, all right? And she walks up to me afterwards and said, you don't remember me, do you? And I'm thinking, oh, here we go again. I said, yeah, and I say what I always say, you look familiar. And the truth is, I meet people multiple times a day, and that's how it is. So she said, I was a camper at Canaan Land back in 1986. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, you got to be kidding. You expect me to remember back, you're an old lady. I didn't say that. You're an old lady now, and you expect me to remember that you were a camper in 1986. I go through my life that way. In fact, I've got things on Post-its everywhere. That's how advanced I am as far as technology. I preach off of Post-its. I live off of Post-its. I see Post-its that are Post-its about Post-its. That's kind of my life. That's where I'm at. And this morning in Acts in chapter 1, here's what I was thinking. I knew what God kind of wanted me to preach, but I didn't know how to come at it. And I want this to be a message of encouragement. I want you to realize that not only did God the Father send the only begotten Son from heaven down to this earth to take your place and my place in death by way of crucifixion. Nobody ever survived crucifixion. By way of crucifixion, he nailed my sins to the cross. He bled out, and then he went to the grave, and then he rose again the third day. And he provided for you and for me, and I said this in Sunday school, every man, woman, and child on this earth, the 8 billion people that are here today, the people that were there 50 years ago, 100 years ago, the people that were here 1,000 years ago, all the way back to Adam, Jesus, the Son of God, provided salvation. That's how much he loves you, and that's how much he loves me. And that ought to be enough. That ought to be enough encouragement. God, you did so much this summer. God bless. Well, camp was wonderful. We had... Greg will give you the number. I think it was just over 40 salvation decisions at camp this last year. God certainly blessed. We had a full teen camp. They manufactured places for people to sleep in the tabernacle at night, and it was good every night, but Thursday night kind of lifted me into the heavenlies. When you got 150 teenagers, 75 workers, I don't know how many the tabernacle can fit, but it's full. and they're lifting their voices in song to the God that saved them. Man, and it's, I mean, they're ringing the rafters. And I hope you see some video of it, but it isn't going to do it justice. I kind of walked around the tabernacle on the outside, and I stood in the back, and I'd see these faces of teenage boys over here beaming, and they're singing the best they can sing, and teenage girls over here singing the best. And you know what? I know that it lifted me into the heavenlies. I was soaring. I was flying. They get down and kneel down by that prayer rock that we call it a prayer rock out front there and ask for God's blessing and to hear all that's going on. Man, that's exciting. And in that group of young people are future preachers. Amen. And missionaries and full-time servants of God from every vocation. What a God we serve. And to think that he's got to do something for me today in order for me to love him, that is so shallow. That is so immature. Before I read anything, you understand that's kind of where we all live, isn't it? You get discouraged. Stand with me and let me read a little bit out of Acts in chapter 1. Acts in chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, he's talking about the Gospel of Luke, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, through the Holy Ghost, he had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, 8 times in holy record, where he stood in front of crowds of people and individual people and showed himself as the resurrected Savior, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel, or to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and also and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So what are you standing around looking for? Skip ahead to chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. This is a manifestation of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And I want to say this before I read just the following verse. There's only been one Pentecost, and that's all there will ever be. And the church was born on that day. The church was energized on that day. The 120 in the upper room, and they preached the gospel, and thousands were saved. And it says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And so it begins. The church was born. Jesus went to Calvary, was resurrected after death, burial, and resurrection. He said, you gather in Jerusalem and you wait till you be endued with power from on high. I am going to send to you the comforter. I'm going to send to you the helper. I'm going to send to you God, the Holy Spirit, and he is going to indwell you, and you are going to be the church of Jesus Christ. And he didn't say this, but you'll be on that earth for 2,000 years, and you'll be a pilgrim on this earth, and you'll be an alien on this earth, but you'll be my people, and I'll make of you a people that are not a people. And I'm going to use you to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, would you bless this morning? I pray you'd encourage every child of God. Lord, would you help us to just have the fog all be lifted, all of the muck and the mire of this world to be removed. And God, may we understand the crystal clear plan for the church of Jesus Christ in these last days in which we live. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. And here's what happened. The church began. The Holy Spirit comes. He infills them. They preach. Thousands are saved. People are hearing the gospel. They go to the far uttermost parts of the earth and they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That word uttermost is an interesting word there in Acts in chapter 1 and verse 8. It's talking about the last places, the farthest places, the last places at the end of the church age. He said, you'll receive power and you'll be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost places. That's the church. He said, I'll endue you with power from on high. I'm not leaving you alone. Don't be discouraged as a child of God. You look at the culture, it can get real, real discouraging. Don't be discouraged. He's indwelt you and he's indwelt me as New Testament believers. The church is his. It belongs to him. It's his idea. We just need to stay surrendered to him. And then the apostles started dying off. And about AD 92 and AD 93, the entire book was completed. The entire canon was put together and they were given the word of God. And so therefore the interim gifts, they faded away as the New Testament church received the word. And so we got God the Holy Spirit. We got God the Son that went to the cross and provided for us. And then we have God the Holy Spirit that was sent down here to help us. He didn't leave us alone. And then he gave to us the word of God by way of the Holy Spirit. That's inspiration. Were it not for the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't know nothing about God. Absolutely nothing. So God did not leave us alone. So he gives to us the Holy Spirit of God. And then he raises up New Testament local churches, congregations to propagate the gospel. That's what it's about. Amen. That is why we're here. Amen. I know the world is in a hot mess. You don't have to go to Paris to see what a mess the world is in. You go to Washington. You go to Lansing. You go to Kinross. You go to your neighbor's house. Man, it's all around us all of the time. I know. This is not my message. I want to just share three, maybe four things very quickly here, and I'll be able to do it in the time left. But did you ever think, did you ever in your wildest dreams think that this world would become like it is right now?
No.
Did you ever think America would be the Sodom and Gomorrah of the world? Did you ever think that could possibly happen? And the Bible tells us that Philadelphia church, there's a Laodicean church. It's doing nothing. It's taking offerings. It's getting rich. It's getting popular, but it's really doing nothing. But that Philadelphia church that has just a little strength and stays faithful to God, church of the open door. That's why we're seeing so many people get saved. That's why so many people are walking the aisles and receiving Christ. I thought last summer was great. This summer has been even better. Yeah, God has provided for us to expand. God has provided for us to have more room. Some of you that are visiting this morning, you don't realize how full this place is on a normal Sunday morning. And we got chairs to fill up the rest. We want to get it. We may not ever have opportunity to fill the building up because Jesus is coming. Amen. That soon. You say, well, what has God done for me? I want to encourage you this midsummer day. I want to encourage you. I want you to know. We have the Holy Spirit. We have a Savior. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the church. We have a Bible. But there's still more. Every day that you live on this earth, every night that you sleep on this earth, you have a God in heaven that is interceding on your behalf. Go to Hebrews in chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Just some simple thoughts here this morning. Book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. My God lives. My God is alive. He's not on the end of some chain or a necklace around somebody's neck. He's not in a little box somewhere. He's not in riding around in somebody's dash of their car in a little statue there. He's not on the crucifix. He's no longer on the cross. My God lives. He is real. He's a living Savior. And he's our great high priest. And it says here in Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse 13, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, he ascended, Jesus, make no mistake about who he is, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. He says, man, hang on. There's a God in heaven who knows me. It says up in verses 11 or verse 12 and verse 13. Verse 13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest or made known in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. My God knows everything. Listen, my God knows all about me and he still loves me. And he still invites me to come to the throne of God. He still invites me to come and bring my cares to him. He didn't leave me alone in this world. You're not just adrift after being born again. It isn't like you were born into the family of God and you're a baby believer and God leaves you out in the parking lot to defend for yourself. That's not it. We have a great high priest who is passed into the heavenlies, and the scripture tells us he is Jesus, the Son of God. So hold on, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Can I tell you that God not only knows, he cares. Say, Pastor, I've had a hard week. He cares. He knows and he cares. And he has experienced the same emotions that you're experiencing in your life. He knows what it is to be rejected. He knows what it is to be turned aside. He knows what it is to be mocked. He knows what it is to struggle in life. But he's our great high priest. He knows. He understands our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Say, oh, I'm tempted. Jesus was tempted. The difference is he never gave in. He never sinned. He's the Holy Son of God. And that's why he could go to Calvary and take my place. His holiness. He made propitiation for my sins. That means he satisfied the holiness of God. He appeased the holiness of God. When God the Father knew that sin had to be paid for, the Lamb of God paid for my sin. He who did no sin. And it says in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. I love that. And find grace to help in time of need. He's enough. He's all that we need. He is my life. He is my eternal life. He is my sustainer. He's my great high priest. I can come to him with my burdens. I don't know what you've experienced this week. I don't know what you're going to experience in the coming week. I know some have been in the valley. I know some have actually experienced and been next to the passing of a loved one. Some are experiencing financial difficulties. And some of it is all, you know, we bring it on for some of our problems. We bring on our own problems. Some of us, you just go through life forgetting things. You live on that post-it, you know, and where'd that post-it go? I forgot. I had an appointment this week to counsel a man. He showed up and waited for me. God bless you. I'm glad you're not mad at me this morning. I'm glad you're here again this morning. Are you the guy that did all the whittling out in front? Somebody was, I don't know if they're waiting for me or there's some, never mind. We're buddies. I'm glad for that. Your pastor has feet of clay. Man, your pastor forgets things from time to time. I have to live, but Jesus, there's no feet of clay there. Our great high priest. You go to him. You want some encouragement in the midsummer morning? Jesus cares. He knows, he cares, he understands. And you have been invited to come boldly to the throne of grace. To find grace and mercy to help in time of need. Man, I know this isn't really, really very eloquent preaching, but I hope you understand that passage. He's not left us alone. He's at work by way of the Holy Spirit. I've already said that. Let's go back to John 14, though. Gospel of John in chapter 14, verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Look at chapter 16 and look at verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Look at verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. That is God, the Holy Spirit. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Look at verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Christ, God the Holy Spirit, gifts New Testament believers to work in the body of Christ in the New Testament local church. So God the Holy Spirit, He comes and he baptizes us in the Holy Spirit when we get born again. He indwells us and we become the temples of God the Holy Spirit when we get born again. He seals us by way of the Holy Spirit. We have the fingerprint of God. We belong to God, and that is never going to change. He has given to us an unction, an anointing from above so that we can understand spiritual things. He entrusted to us the holy word of God settled in heaven, and he gave it to us in print form. That is God, the Holy Spirit, that did that. And he's there to help us every step of the way. Christ, via the Holy Spirit, is building his church. Christ, by way of the Holy Spirit, is building the body of Christ. God is bigger than any problem you have and any problem that I have. He is that living God, and he has given to us, by way of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Word of God. To be discouraged in the middle of the summer of 2024, that is foolish. Now, I'm trying to be an open book. I'm not discouraged right now. I'm just letting you know that we are all made of the same stuff. This morning I got up realizing how many people were going to be missing. And I thought, man, that's a bummer. This morning when I got here to the church house early and I got on my knees and prayed, I was reminded by God the Holy Spirit how much Jesus has really done for me. Amen. And for me to forget even the blessings of yesterday. Because today may not be exactly what I expect. That is so human. That is so sinful. God did not leave us alone. He provided the Savior. He provided the Holy Spirit. He provided the book. He provided the church of Jesus Christ. And then he said, I'm coming back for you. Amen. You're here on a mission. No matter how evil the world gets. No matter how dark the world gets. Look at John 14. Go back there one more time. He's also provided for us a home in heaven. I know you know that. Boy, that warms my heart. Every time I read this passage, I'm reminded how God loves me and how good he is to me. Angie went home to heaven this last week. Bob is here this morning. Bob's up in the choir. That blessed my heart. Man, that Angie is his helpmate, his life partner. Bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. And God decided to take her home prior to what Bob was thinking and anybody else was thinking. But God knows what he's doing. And can I tell you this in relation to heaven? If Angie had the potential, the possibility of coming back to this earth, she would not leave heaven. No way. You say, that's selfish. Oh, no, 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 no. She is finally complete. She's in Christ. You realize right now, she's in the celestial city. You realize right now, and she knows that Bob's going to be there real soon. So it's okay. You know what? I mean, you turn around twice and he's going to be there. Turn around twice, we'll all be there. You understand that. And Jesus, this is what he's done for you and he's done for me. He's interceding on our behalf. He's working. He's at work today by way of the Holy Spirit. And he's preparing heaven. He created this earth and all that is in this universe in 6 days. He's been working on heaven for 2,000 years. It says here in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus is preparing heaven. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So let's rewind all of this right now. Where we're at right now, this is our time to serve God. We weren't born to serve God. We were born again to serve God. We are born again for this hour, this moment. Dr. Morgan Roth, we affectionately referred to him as Dr. Mo, and he's been in heaven since the 1980s, the late 1980s. He was one of the co-founders of Baptist Pioneer Mission Agency. He was a lifelong missionary, a great man of God in Bolivia, and then come up and headed up the missions department for a few years there, and then God took him home. But he had a direct impact on this young preacher boy's life. I used to be a young preacher boy. On this old preacher's life, a direct impact. And I remember what he told me. The last words he said on his deathbed. I traveled over there to see him. And he was in his little country farmhouse in a hospital bed, struggling to breathe. Dr. Morgenroth looked at me and said, "Tim, don't quit on God. I've heard his voice again and again. Don't quit." I thought, "Dr. Mo, what are you talking about? I never quit on God." Sounds like Peter, doesn't it? Don't quit on God. Actually, those weren't the last words I heard him say. As I was leaving the kitchen, just before the screen door slammed, I heard him yell at his wife, Rita, "Get me some bread!" I heard that, but other than that, but to me, it was, don't quit on God. Man, our Savior has gone to prepare a place called heaven. Can I say one more thing? In case you're discouraged, he's coming again.
Amen.
He's coming back. I know you know 1 Thessalonians. How about going over to Titus in chapter 2? Titus in chapter 2. I'm telling you, I am so upset. It's France, right? It's Paris. I know that. It's the world. It's the global system. They are ready for the Antichrist. The whole world is ready for the Antichrist. Outside the Church of Jesus Christ, this world is marching towards the Antichrist. We know that to be true. And the things that go on now, man, I never. Titus in chapter 2, look at verse 13. I love it. Looking, yearning, desiring, stargazing, looking for that blessed hope.
Amen.
That blessed surety. That's what the word hope means. It's going to happen. It ought to encourage you. It ought to bring hope to you. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, he's coming. He is coming again. He has not left us alone. I don't know if we'll have another summer. I really think it's that close. I don't know if we'll get the old school gathering. We got our big homecoming weekend, September the 15th. All kinds of old timers are coming back that moved away from the area. And every preacher that we've got in the ministry that's able to, they're going to be here. There's quite a few of them coming that came out of this church. And we're going to have a time of reminiscing and a time of dinner on the grounds and some great preaching. And it's going to be, but I don't even know if we'll get there. That's why it's imperative that we share the gospel right now with our neighbors. That's why it's imperative that we hand out those gospel tracts right now. It's wonderful that we're making preparations, and we ought to prepare like Jesus isn't coming for 100 years, but the fact is we ought to live like he's coming this afternoon.
Amen.
And he's coming soon.
Amen.
Don't get discouraged. It's going to be hot this week. Here's that old fleshly Tim Rader. That'll wear me down quicker than somebody punching me in the nose and telling me you're nothing but a Bible thumper. No, that kind of spurs me on. But the heat, it just kind of says, don't come around me this week thinking I'm going to be spiritual. Don't do that. It won't take long and I'll be poured out. But Jesus, he's interceding. He cares about the burden that you're carrying. He's ministering by way of the Holy Spirit. He's preparing heaven, home. We're going to be there soon. And he's coming back. He's going to take us home. You know what I like about this church? I got up and preached. I couldn't preach this message again because nothing is really written down. I got some things written down, but that's not where I was this morning. And I don't feel like it was a very homiletical message that somebody's going to write down in a book someday and say, what a message. But I think we heard from heaven. And I think there's people here this morning who've gotten weary. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.